Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time, $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply. T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Middle show of the work week. We call it the hump show. We've got a question for you. Generally on our hump show, you all ask me anything, and the questions are pouring in. We made an adjustment not that long ago. Moving the post up or sharing our bright orange box with the invitation to ask Amy anything. We used to do it at the start of the show, which we found always caught the same audience. So what we decided to do a few months ago was to post that invite in the evening, dinner time for the East Coast, mid-afternoon for the Pacific Coast, and we get blasted with your questions now. So producer Jay is to go through them, and it's amazing. Some of the questions that I'm getting asked I've never seen before, and I know that some of the people who are posting or responding on Twitter and Facebook we've never seen before either. So it's good. It catches a completely different audience. Now, the problem is people say to me, oh, I didn't hear the answer. Well, that's what the podcast is for. I get it. If you're sending us a question at dinner time or late afternoon, there's a chance that you might not be awake when we actually answer the questions on the air. But that's where the podcast comes in, available within minutes of the show ending every weekday morning, regardless of where you are. You can find the link on both our Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as our Facebook page. And so that's where you can find the post for Ask Amy Anything. The question's already pouring in. First chance to make our show announcement, and I didn't get to it last hour because I'm a turd sometimes, but this is what we have in store for you just over 24 hours from now, which means I need to go to the grocery store. We are doing the fifth? Chubby Bunny World Championship. I think it's the fourth. Wait, one, two, three. Actually, it doesn't matter. I don't think that part matters. I want it to be all dramatic, but I don't think it matters as much. The next Chubby Bunny World Championship takes place on Thursday morning, final hour of the show at 5:20 a.m. Eastern Time, 2:20 Pacific Time. The contestant who nearly died on the air last year will in fact be back to see if he can redeem himself.
No, that's it. You're done. He's out.
Oh, God.
Wait, what happened to double digits? He did nearly die while we laughed. Jay, along with Matt the Musher, they were the co-champions. So Jay is back to defend his co-championship. And Sean, who nearly died on the air from the DA show. We still can't hear it without laughing. But for weeks, we couldn't watch it without crying so hard because we were laughing.
I can't.
And then Pete's laugh is my favorite.
That's the best part of it. It's got to be.
Pete's cackle. So Pete is also from the DA show, which follows us here on CBS Sports Radio. I know not every affiliate carries the next show, but there is a show that follows us called the DA show. And both Sean and Pete work on that show. And Sean is participating in the Chubby Bunny World Championship. Pete will likely be running the board, meaning he'll replace Jay on the other side of the double pane glass so that Jay can be here in studio. And then we also have Pat Boyle from the DA show, but he hosts solo on the network as well. So there will be four of us, cast and crew of thousands. Billy, who was in last year's competition, but didn't tell us barely. He was in last year's competition with all of, 2.5 marshmallows, and then he told us he had a quick gag reflex, and so he shouldn't have been doing it anyway. It's like, well, why did you waste our time? We gave you a spot. So he volunteered to film the whole Chubby Bunny World Championship from this point on. So he will be here to film it. So we have Jay, Sean, Pat. He's a first timer. He doesn't know what he's in for. He's a first timer. I keep forgetting, whoopsie, to send him the video of the Chubby Bunny World Championship so he can know what he's in for. And then I will also be participating. And this year we may have an MC. We'll see about that. Andrew Bogish, also from the DA show, has volunteered to MC. But I kind of take pride in the fact that it's just that I'll never win as long as I'm talking while I have the marshmallows in my mouth, because that makes it harder. The marshmallows move around and then they activate the gag reflex. I may let Andrew take over until I bow out, until I spit the marshmallows out. That's just what happens. I always have, there's a plates here already. So yeah, I know it's gross. Well, you'll hear it live on the air, the Chubby Bunny World Championship, Thursday morning, 5:20 a.m. Eastern Time, 2:20 a.m. Pacific, and then, you know, your various other time zones. It will be live here on the air, and we will film it. And so the video will go up later in the week when producer Jay has a chance to get it up on our YouTube channel. But maybe we'll share some of the YouTube samples with you just to let you know what you're in for. We'll have to make the announcement on our social media as well. After Hours, Chubby Bunny World Championship. It rides again. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. If you would like to answer our question, what we're asking you is, how early do you arrive at the airport when you're taking a domestic flight? So in the United States. And the reason that I'm asking this question, it just kind of follows the stream of consciousness in my brain. My brother and sister-in-law and my nieces went to Hawaii on Tuesday. In fact, it's still Tuesday in Hawaii, but they flew to Hawaii from the DC area on Tuesday, and they arrived at the airport 3 hours ahead of time. Their flight left at 9 a.m., I believe. So they were at the airport by 6, which means they were probably awake 4:30 at the latest in the morning. So then they get to Hawaii at 6:30 in the evening, Hawaii time, they're getting ready to go to bed. And I felt like saying, well, if you didn't arrive at the airport at the butt crack of midnight, well, then maybe you wouldn't be so tired. But yeah, they were spent, all of them. They're getting ready to go to bed, even though it was only 12:30 Eastern time. But again, they're not as hardy as me. I travel routinely. When I travel, I'm awake 30 hours. It sucks. I don't love it, but whatever. And so they're lightweights. They traveled nearly 20 hours and they're out. They're out. I thought they were going to listen to the radio show. So I'm asking you, we're asking you, how early do you arrive at the airport for a domestic flight? Here's the irony of it all. After arriving so early to their flight and sitting for essentially 2 hours at the gate, they had to run through the airport in Seattle to make their connection.
You see, like, the airport doesn't care if you're there 3 hours early.
So we got the post up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page too, After Hours, with so much in store for you. We'll get to Ask Amy about 90 minutes from now, but I promised that you would hear what Jimmy Butler had to say about the Heat dropping Game 4 in Miami, where the Celtics flex their muscles in the second half. We hadn't seen a lot of that, right? It's been the Heat who've had the last laugh. It's been the Heat who've been able to dial up the offense. It's been the Heat who have used that defense to put a chokehold on this series. But the Celtics did that and showed glimpses in a 3-minute stretch specifically of how it is that they got to be the second best record in the NBA. But Jimmy Butler is not worried. I don't know that I've ever seen Jimmy Butler worried when it comes to basketball.
If anything, it'll build momentum for us, knowing that we have to play with a lot more energy. And, you know, we got to play like our backs are against the wall. But I think all year long, we've been better in the road to do things the hard way.
And what doing differently, they made shots. They shot 50 from the field and 40 from three. And this is, you know, we always said the last one to get is the hardest one to get. So we knew coming in this game that was going to be desperate. and now we got to finish business in Boston.
Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler both had numbers that were plus minus numbers that were below 20. Below 20? Would it be above 20? Higher than 20? It's kind of when you talk about seedings in the NCAA tournament. Do you say the high seedings or the low seedings? When you're talking about the 1, 2, 3, 4. Is it a low seed or a high seed?
See, I say high seed.
I think I've said both here on the show and probably both over the course of my career. Their plus minus numbers were greater than 20. Think Bam Adebayo was 21. Jimmy's may have been 25, something along those lines. Because their offense was a lot harder to come by. But Jimmy actually says this is a good thing because now we will play with more desperation. We've always played our best when we had no other choice. And that's where their toughness, that's where their ability to stare down adversity has come from.
You have to be able to, you know, get away from the game a little bit. Think about it. But at the end of the day, you fall back on, you know, your habits, how consistent you're going to be. And myself and my teammates, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to smile. We're going to be in this thing together like we always are. And we're going to go get one on the road.
Both teams pride themselves on winning possession games. I have not glanced at this closely enough, but I think categorically they won the possession game. They won the transition game. They won the three-point game. They won probably won the free throw game, and they definitely won the rebounding game. I guess the offensive, I don't know how to say it, the stagnant. There's another word for that. But we were a little bit stagnant offensively that kind of led to a lot of that lack of flow, both ends.
So Eric Spoelstra pointing to the fact that they were not moving the ball around, but the Celtics were, right? And yes, Bam says, hey, they were making shots. And that's true. But they were also getting quality shots because of the ball movement. And the Celtics, they weren't able to do it. The Heat were not able to do it. The ball got stuck. They also ran into some active hands, some challenges around the rim and in the paint by the Celtics in the third quarter. So I like the way Jimmy Butler says it. We should hear him again because he's doubling down on what he said before the series, right? We're going to be the first team to 4 wins.
You have to be able to, you know, get away from the game a little bit. Think about it. But at the end of the day, you fall back on, you know, your habits, how consistent you're going to be. And myself and my teammates, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to smile. We're going to be in this thing together like we always are. And we're going to go get one on the road.
We're going to get one on the road. So he thinks the series is done in Boston. But if the Celtics go home in game 5 and win and they force it back to Miami, the pressure starts to shift a little bit. Now, I don't think the Heat are a team that wilts under pressure. That's not who they've been. If they were, they wouldn't be in this position. But the Celtics will start to feel the confidence. It's heady. If you can put together 2 wins and force the series back to South Florida, it can be heady. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Your answers coming in about arriving at the airport. Some of them are fairly entertaining. I like it. Got one tweet from, let's see. Just says C. C. I think that's his first name, C. No, it's obviously an initial, but I don't know what C stands for. So C. That's it. Just C.
Call him Chuck.
Yes, I'm sure it's that. I'm sure it's Chubby Bunny, actually.
Right. Yeah. That might be it.
From our friend Chubby Bunny. 42 minutes is all you need if you have TSA PreCheck, Clear Lane status, and American Executive Platinum status. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't have those things. Actually, the number one airport I fly out of is Newark, which is considered one of the New York City airports. It's just across the river in New Jersey. To have TSA PreCheck in Newark is actually a negative because the lines are so much longer for TSA PreCheck. Every single time I'm at the airport, PreCheck lines are double the regular lines because so many people have TSA PreCheck that you actually stand in line longer. So it's not a benefit. And so I was going to get it. And then I realized that kept happening at Newark. And so I decided, no way, I'm not getting TSA pre-check. It actually won't help me, at least not in Newark. I have seen the clear machines. So those are in every airport now.
I think that's the way to go.
Do you?
I've never used it.
I don't know how much it costs.
I'm not sure either. I think it's kind of expensive. But if you travel enough, I think that's the way to go. You go
see,
right
I can't,
through.
I can't do it. Airline flights are already so expensive. Fares are already so expensive that I try to travel as cheaply as possible. And so I can't keep like paying for things on top of everything else. I mean, now you know that to check a bag, it costs $30 minimum. It costs $30, right? And there are a couple airlines you can fly where it doesn't cost $30, but to do that, you have to consider that if you fly with a bag on top of the fare that you're already paying. Most airlines make you pay for seats as well. There's all these extra fees that are hidden, quote unquote. And then you realize the flight isn't nearly as cheap as what you thought it was when you found it online. So I'm the person that would rather save the money, actually, than I'd rather stand in line if I have to. I don't have any issues with standing in line at the airport. Once you're at the airport, well, you might as well stand in line. You got nothing else to do, right? So you might you might as well just stand there. But the American Executive Platinum status. Yep, also something that sounds much too sophisticated for me. Let's see. Mimi says 1 hour using TSA PreCheck. That probably depends on which airport you're at. But I'm glad that TSA PreCheck works for a lot. Like I said, I was planning on getting it at some point, and then I just decided it wasn't worth it in Newark. Let's see. Another tweet, 2 hours. Another tweet, 2 hours. I like this from one of our regular listeners. I can't remember who made the recommendation. I just take advice from people and I can't remember who. But I was always under the impression that you should get to the airport 2 hours before your flight. I don't remember that I've ever gotten to an airport 2 hours before my flight.
I've like heard that before also. Domestic flight 2 hours, international 3.
I cannot do it. I cannot do it. So often I'm traveling after being up all night, go home, take care of the dog, grab my stuff, head to the airport. I can't do it. 2 hours? No, I can't.
It's a long time to sit in there.
I get to the airport property an hour and 15 minutes ahead of time. I take a shuttle, then I'm in the airport an hour beforehand. I always check in online. And if I can, I travel without a bag. Without a checked bag. So for the most part, I do trips that are 4 days. When I go to Houston, 4 days. My mom has everything, so I don't really need to bring toiletries or bathroom tools, if you will. So she has everything. I just have to pack the clothes. And then you can take another kind of satchel with you, right? Or I do a briefcase with my computer.
That's a big time saver.
Yeah. When I went to Arizona, I did check a bag because I needed a bunch of stuff. I was gone for 6 days. Generally, if I check in online ahead of time and don't check a bag, all you got to do is go straight to security. You don't have to stop anywhere else. And even if you do have a bag, if you check in online, you can drop it. You can drop it and tag it yourself and leave it and go. I'd appreciate that so many of you probably have less stress than I do.
Well, how often do you get to the airport and everything goes exactly according to plan with your flight time? I mean, you can't bank on the flight being delayed or canceled or whatever, but more often than not, you're not leaving. Your gate's not boarding. If it says 7:17, you're not getting on until at least 40.
Oh, I wouldn't say more often than not.
Maybe
you can look at the stats for flights and they'll tell you takes off on time 70% of the time, takes off on time 80% of the time, that kind of thing. And if they do close the flight on time, you actually can't get on 10 minutes before the flight takes off. Once they close the doors, they close the doors. So you can't actually get on the plane until the very last second, because once they are done with boarding, they're done. But I do think that for me, an hour and 15 minutes has always worked just fine. I don't have any issues, really. I mean, every now and then, if I'm on a slow shuttle, I'll feel my heart rate spike a little bit, but it's still worth it to me not to go early.
The worst is when the gate is so far away from the security line.
I actually stress more about connections than I do about getting to the airport initially.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Connections are the part that stress me out, because if you've only got an hour in between your flights and you get into the, you land, but then you're middle of the plane, it takes 30 minutes to get off the plane. And then you have, then you have to start running. And as you say, it could be like on the other side of the zip code, for heaven's sakes. So yeah, connections stress me out far more than actually getting to the airport for the first flight.
Connections are just so out of your control, and everything just has to hit right every time.
Stressful.
You feel like so.
Yes. So I'll leave myself more time between flights for a connection than I will for anything else. Rachel on Twitter, A-Law Radio, depends what airport I'm flying out of. And a lot of you are saying that. She says Providence, no more than 90 minutes. I like that. Orlando, 2.5 to 3 hours early. Is that because there's a lot of old people in Orlando? I'm just asking. I don't know.
Maybe.
Do they move
Disney,
more slowly?
Young kids, older people.
That's true. Sometimes I fly out of Westchester, which is in, it's New York, but it's outside of New York City. It's north of New York City. It's a much smaller airport. And so I do sometimes fly out of Westchester. I got stuck in an accident traffic once on my way to Westchester. I got on the airport property 20 minutes before my flight left, and I still made the flight. Because I had to park right next to the terminal, which was a bad idea for a 4-day. I'm going to tell you how much my parking was, but I had no choice. I had to drive on, park, and get into the building. But I'm not kidding. I went through security, and I got to my flight, even though I didn't arrive at the airport till 20 minutes before the flight took off. I wouldn't recommend that, but that is the benefit of smaller airports, right? You cannot do that at Newark. You can't do it in Atlanta. You can't do it in Houston. You can't do it in D.C. You can't do it in L.A. Oh, my gosh. One time I was flying out of LAX, and the guy who checked me in kept my ID. So I get up to, he just didn't give it back to me. So I get up to the security line, and I'm freaking out because I can't find my ID, right? And thankfully was able to run back to the gate. He was standing there holding it.
Oh.
Like, dude, you couldn't have followed me with my ID?
Oh, you came back.
Yeah. So our friend C responds. He's listening. Hi, C. I'm sorry I don't know your first name. I'm sure it's not Chubby Bunny. He says he was referencing Dallas-Fort Worth and most American hubs, Chicago, Miami. He says clear is like $200 a year. So if you fly 10-plus times in a year, completely worth it, you can make executive platinum completely on spending, not traveled miles. Much easier to achieve. All right. I like it. These are travel tips from our friend C. Thank you for listening, C.
Thanks, C.
Why am I such a weirdo? All right, coming up, a moment that will make it a lot harder for the Dallas Stars to climb out of a deep hole in the Western Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And honestly, I'm stunned by what I saw in the first period between the Knights and the Stars. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The Health One healthcare system is proud to have been named one of the top places to work for women in the nation by Newsweek. Health One is the only healthcare provider in Colorado and one of only 6 organizations in the state to be recognized with this award. Thank you to all our colleagues, physicians, and volunteers for making Health One a great place to give and receive care. Learn more about our services, physicians, and locations by visiting healthonecares.com. That's healthonecares.com.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Eichel gloves down a loose puck. Feeds left a shot. They score! Eichel to Marchessault. Vegas strikes first. 1 minute, 11 seconds into the first period. Watt across the line, right wing. To the left wing, a shot, score! Barbashev! Ivan Barbashev, a power play goal. 2-0 Golden Knights. Now, Bluger feeds Carrier. He scores! A backhander inside the right post. William Carrier's first goal of the postseason. The Knights take a 3-0 lead in Game 3. Sent out to the right by Barbashev. Petrangelo, a wrist shot, scores! Alex Petrangelo, first goal of the playoffs. 4-0 Vegas with 11:32 to go second period.
Feels great. We did exactly what we needed to do. Stuck together, scored some big goals. When they started to run around, we just stuck together and keep pushing forward and win as a team like that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights, standing on the verge of their second Stanley Cup final in their short history as a franchise. Dan Duva with the calls on the Knights radio network. And they now have a series lead that is not completely insurmountable, but is similar to what we've seen in every other series. How crazy is that? Every single one of the conference finals in hockey and hoops have gone 3-0. Every single one of them. Florida can sweep Carolina coming up on Wednesday night. We know that Denver already swept LA. Of course, we didn't end up with a sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA, but even this could have been history. I don't know. It'd be a lot of research that I don't have time to do, but to think about all four championship series, conference championship series, being 3-0 is odd. It's just odd. And Dallas is in trouble. Not only are they looking at an 0-3 hole against Vegas, but this game took a nasty turn in the very first period. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We don't have the audio. For those of you who want to see it, the video is out there all over social media. In fact, I'm looking at it even now as I talk to you. There was a forecheck by Jamie Benn, the captain of the Dallas Stars, against Mark Stone of the Vegas Golden Knights. And we're talking 2 minutes into the game. We're just 2 minutes into the game. The hit itself was relatively nondescript. It was just a hit. It wasn't even that hard. But for some reason, and it's almost like Jamie lost his mind. As Stone hits the deck, Benn takes his stick. Okay, so Stone is down on his back almost, kind of on his side, on his back. He loses his balance. He slips to the ice, and he's kind of sideways, but falling over onto his back. Benn takes his stick and jams it into the neck of Mark Stone. It's intentional. I don't have any idea why he would do that 2 minutes into the game. He literally is standing above Mark Stone, takes his stick, either end of the stick in his two hands, and jams it down on the neck of Stone. And in doing so, Ben's using so much force that he ends up falling over too. This is not what we know of Jamie Benn. He's a very well-respected captain, longtime captain of the Stars. Thankfully, Mark is okay, but man, it was vicious, and it was uncalled for, and it was unnecessary. And he receives a match penalty, a game misconduct match penalty, which is a 5-minute power play for the Knights, and then he's tossed, of course. He didn't have a leg to stand on. Should have been tossed. That was the right call. If I remember correctly, they did review it. They look at it just to be sure in the NHL headquarters, but he has nothing to say for himself. And Peter DeBoer, the head coach of the Stars, wasn't defending him either.
Made a mistake. Feels really badly about it. I don't think anyone in the building feels worse than he does about it. I'm not going to pile on him. He's been a leader here, for his entire career. And leads by example every day on and off the ice. Made a mistake. Fortunately, Mark Stone's okay, we've got to live with the consequences. And the consequences were, it was a big hole. So, but I'm not going to stand here and pile on tonight. I don't think it does anybody any good.
Jamie's one of the, if not the, best captain in this league and, you know, top leader. And, you know, collectively, we lost as a group tonight.
We hear Tyler Seguin weigh in, too, standing behind his captain. But I would be stunned if the NHL doesn't suspend him for game number four. I don't think there's any way he plays in game four. So not only did they lose him for the rest of this game, Barbashev scored on the power play. So they did give up a power play goal and never were able to get a goal themselves. So at that point, they're already done. They're missing one of their top forwards, and he's not going to play in game four. Just can't imagine what came over him. It's too early in the game to be frustrated. And even if you are, you're a captain. You're a leader. Everyone makes mistakes. And I appreciate that DeBoer is supporting his guy. And also, we didn't hear from Jamie. And so I appreciate that Pete is saying Jamie feels terribly. But gosh, like how he used the stick as a weapon and could have hurt Mark. Jay saw something else on the video as he was watching it. What did you see, Jay?
Yeah, you could tell Mark Stone, he puts his arm up. He's on the ice because he falls to the ice. And then before Jamie Benn goes for that cross check, Mark Stone puts his arm up almost, and he looks afraid. He's cowering in defense, as in because he knows he's about to get hurt.
Well, and he lost his stick. Right. His stick was up and over the top of Benn, so he didn't have a stick either to defend himself. Wait, you would call it a cross check when he's on the ice and Ben's using his stick like that?
No, just a cross check motion really is what I meant.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a cross check that was while Mark Stone was laying on the ice defenseless. Yeah, just stunning to see. And beyond that, Dallas was unable to get a goal in the back of the net, puck in the back of the net. They actually outshot the Golden Knights by 18 in this game and still couldn't break through. And I can imagine they're rattled. They were, at least initially. I just don't understand why he would do that. And I'm sure we'll hear from him at some point. But yeah, the NHL will likely move swiftly. These games go every other day. And I would expect on Wednesday we would hear that he's been suspended. If not for one game, maybe even longer. But right now they're looking at a 3-0 deficit or an 0-3 deficit.
So I do just have a quick, Jamie Benn was seen leaving the arena after the game. Didn't talk to any reporters. Just went right to his car and he's gone.
Yeah. Knowing what we know of Jamie, and obviously we don't know him personally, but who he is as a captain, what his teammates say of him, how long he's been established in the NHL, this doesn't seem like him. It's very out of character for him. In that case, I can imagine he feels terribly, not only because of what he did to a fellow player, opponent or not. These guys all respect each other because they understand how hard it is to get into the pros, to stay in the pros, and to be playing this deep in the postseason. So they do all respect one another, thus the handshake lines at the end of every series. A lot of them know each other as well from free agency, international competitions, all-star games, all this kind of stuff. They, especially when you're talking about in conference, they all know each other very well if they've been in the league for a while. I'm sure not only does he feel like he let his team down, but he also must be mortified that he tried to hurt another player. It was blatant. Just very out of character. And of course, now his team is an even more dire situation. A direr. I don't think that's a word. A direr. Wait, actually, it might be a word. You put an R on the end of dire. It's a direr. Wait, I gotta Google it.
I started searching dire and other words came up.
It is. It is a word, but how awkward. It's an awkward word. Here we go. Direr. Extremely serious or urgent. Direr.
Dire. One who dies.
No, stop it. That is not what it means. No, we're talking about a different spelling, you goofball. D-I-R-E, not D-I-E-R. Oh, my God.
I know.
But you can't actually turn it into an adjective or a comparative adjective, direr. It's a direr. No, that's awful. Why would we have that word in our English language? It's a rhetorical question.
A lot of weird words.
There are a lot of weird words. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, here's a travel tip from Tracy. Many credit cards reimburse for global entry, which includes TSA, PreCheck, and Clear. Having both is the way to go, especially in Newark. Oh, there's a tip. Clear brings you right to the front of the line. Huh. Well, so our friend C and our friend Tracy. I'm such a weirdo. Our friend C and Tracy. Thank you, C and Tracy, are giving us tips on how to avoid being at the airport 7 hours ahead of time. It's just wrong. My grandmother, not my paternal grandmother, not Grammy Helen, my maternal Grammy, she used to get to the airport 3+ hours ahead of time. But I kind of excused her because she was old. She was older. My mom's husband, oh yeah, he makes them go to the airport very early. My mom, she sends me text messages with eye-rolling emojis about the fact that they're on their way to the airport 5 hours before their flight.
I don't get it.
No, just don't want to have any stress. I'd rather have the stress.
It's more stressful sitting in an airport with nothing to do, paying $14 for a bottle of soda.
How early do you go to the airport? On Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page too. And while you're there, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I have no defense for myself on this edition of the show. We're going to get to some football next hour. Eek! But coming up following the update, Michael Block. He's preparing for his next golf tournament, which is pretty darn cool. Thanks for hanging out with us on The Hump Show.
You are listening to the After Hours.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing. Help save lives. And so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Podcast.
Story gets better. A home run for Michael Black.
Yeah, it was a 7-iron flight. It is a pretty good wind into us. I was paired with Rory McIlroy, you know, one of my idols, and I was doing okay. I just, you know, I was too over at that point. I was trying to get back to even par. I hit this 7-iron. I couldn't see it go in the hole. And all of a sudden, Rory's walking away, and he turns around, and he has his arms open, and he's going to give me a big hug. And I'm like, I couldn't figure out why he's giving me a hug if I just hit it close. I didn't think it went in the hole, but the crowd was going, you know, nuts.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Can you imagine what Michael Block's life is like this week? Well, we've got two words to tell you how extraordinary and how surreal these last couple days have been for him since he not only made the cut at the PGA Championship, but on Sunday, paired with Rory McIlroy, as you hear on CBS with Jim Nantz, gets a hole in one on the par 3 15th on the fly. It actually took a chunk out of the cup because of the trajectory, how hard it was coming in. It did not bounce. It just went straight into the cup. It took out a piece of the cup, broke the cup while it was in there. And now, because he is super popular and people are talking about him, he's transcended golf. He's received sponsor exemptions to multiple tournaments. So he's living this dream. He's a club pro from Orange County, California, a great golfer, but not a pro golfer, a teaching pro. He's not a PGA Tour pro, but he's getting an opportunity to rub shoulders and to compete with guys that he has been watching his entire life. He's 46 years old. This is a dream come true, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and he is making the most of it. But two words. Are you ready? Michael Jordan. He got a text from Michael Jordan, and he tells the story from the Colonial in Fort Worth because he received an exemption to get into the Charles Schwab Challenge. So there he is doing press availability at the Charles Schwab Challenge in Colonial. He's actually competing, and this will be the first of several to come. He's competing in a PGA Tour event because he was able to finish in the top 15, captivate the galleries, and now, of course, his face is everywhere.
Getting a text from Michael Jordan today. I'm a big Jordan guy my whole life. I was a little kid in Iowa saving $100 for a pair of Jordans back in the day, and pretty darn cool, to say the least.
Could you share what he had to say?
It was something in the way that what he saw is why he loves the game of golf so much.
How cool is that? There's another show question in there that we won't throw out yet, but who would you most like to receive a text message from? If you achieve some incredible dream, we'll have to save this one for the summertime when we have a little more freedom. If you achieve some incredible dream, a once-in-a-lifetime moment that the entire United States was talking about, right? Pop, you become part of pop culture. Who would you most want to receive a text message from? That's actually a fun question that we won't get to tonight. Because tonight, instead, we're asking you how early you arrive at the airport for a domestic flight. Domestic, mind you, not international. At least Jay and I know if we ever travel together or when we travel together to, say, another event, we do not have to be there 2 hours ahead of time.
We're missing the flight.
No, we're... I've never missed a flight because I was late. Now, I one time missed a flight because I thought I was flying out of Providence, and instead I was flying out of Boston. That was my own fault, so I went to the wrong airport. So that's on me, but I wasn't late because I didn't get to the airport early enough. Do we have time for more Michael Block? Hey, let's do this one. He actually got offered $30,000 for his hole-in-one club, the 7-iron.
I've had a couple different offers. Actually, it's crazy, right? But I've had a couple different offers. And the initial response was it was $50,000. I'd hand deliver it. And kind of kiddingly, but I guess not really anymore. but I've had other people ask about it to maybe have it preserved in certain spots for the PGA and et cetera, stuff like that. So it's up in the air. For right now, it just needs to hit shots in there close for me, and I'll go from there.
He's not giving it up yet because he needs it. That's the club that he feels comfortable with, obviously. He got a hole in one of the PGA championships. So the 7-iron remains in his bag for now. He's in his bag. Isn't that a vernacular from the kids these days?
He is indeed.
He is indeed in his bag. See, when Jay confirms to me that I've used a phrase the right way, and also his eyebrows go up like, where in the world did you hear that from? Amy, why are you acting like you're so cool? Congratulations to Michael Block because he indeed is cool. This week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.